Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs 26. That will eventually be the first passage that we'll read tonight. Proverbs chapter 26. On Friday, when I sent out the bulletin, for those of you who do receive it, most of you do, I've gotten to where I try to announce the lessons for the upcoming Sunday. And I advertise tonight's lesson as the sin of laziness. But I guess we could maybe frame it in another way, and we'll eventually get to that. In fact, it is a sin, but laziness versus diligence. Laziness versus diligence. Which one does God favor? Which one of those is He on the side of? Obviously, it's diligence, right? God loves to see people work hard. And when they don't, He very much disapproves of that. Laziness is a sin. And so, if we don't get anything else out of the lesson tonight, I hope we do. I hope we remember, retain as much of it as possible. But just remember, laziness is a sin. When we think about diligence, let's just talk about it. Now, the bulk of the lesson will be focused on laziness, but let's think about diligence for just a minute. I do know that in the New King James Version, which I typically use, some form of the word diligence is found 20 times. In the New Testament. We're not going to take the time to go through all of those references, but if we did, we would find that diligence is used in connection with a number of different things. For example, it's used in connection with seeking God. We need to do so with diligence. It's used in connection with the study of the Scriptures. Diligence needs to be shown in that. It's used in connection with giving of our means back to God. It's used in connection with the good works that we do for the Lord, for one another. It's used in connection with seeking heaven as our home, of adding qualities to our character, of avoiding sin, and really just in general, everything that has to do with our service to God. Everything that has to do with our service to God, God expects that we do it not with laziness, but with diligence. Now, in the book of Proverbs, and this is where we'll get most of our passages tonight, diligence is used in connection with just in general the everyday task of this life. Again, the Lord would expect us to show diligence even in those things. It's also used in connection with keeping one's heart, keeping one's mind. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 specifically talks about that. It's also used in connection with seeking wisdom. I think about really some of those early chapters there in the book of Proverbs, right? How diligently we're to seek after wisdom. Diligence is a virtue. That's what God expects to see in each and every one of us. Now, laziness, of course, on the other hand, is something that God condemns throughout Scripture. Laziness is something that is abhorrent to God. It is an abomination to God. And we're just going to kind of in general look at a few passages here to sort of introduce that. But turn with me to Proverbs 26. You should already be here in this chapter. And let's read verses 14 and 15. Chapter 26, verses 14 and 15. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. That's supposed to be humor, right? But I would suggest this is not necessarily the ha-ha kind of humor. This is really designed to be biting humor. Would you agree? In other words, the whole purpose of this humor here is to show you just how sad it is for somebody to be lazy. I saw something on the internet here a while back, and It had this picture of this extremely large cat just laying on its back on the couch. And he says, I could stop being lazy, but I'm too lazy to do it. And that's about how you can sum it up with some folks, right? Look also in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, let's look at verses 30 and 31. Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. There's a quote from a humorist that sort of ties in with this passage we just read in Proverbs. There's an English humorist by the name of Jerome K. Jerome. I guess even his name is sort of humorous, right? Jerome. But his quote was, I like work. It fascinates me. I could sit and look at it for hours. And that seems to be what the lazy man here in Proverbs 24 is doing. Okay, I see all this work that needs to be done, but there's a difference in, you know, looking at it and actually getting the work done. I don't know if he could talk anybody else into doing it or not. But again, just laziness just is condemned throughout Scripture. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. He who is slothful, are you familiar with the sloth? You know, it's kind of known as sort of moving real slow, right? He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Just kind of meditate on that for just a minute. It is quite possible that lazy folks might say something like, well, you know what? It's none of your business. I'm not doing anybody any harm by my laziness. It would seem that this passage would speak contrary to that. You actually are doing harm. It's interesting that he says you're a close cousin of, you're a brother of the one who is a destroyer, the one who destroys things. But see, the difference is with laziness, we're destroying things by negligence. I guess the destroyer would destroy things by his actions. Here we're destroying things by our negligence. Make no mistake about it, our laziness has consequences. Our negligence has consequences. It can cause a lot of harm for ourselves and for a lot of other people. And certainly even for, more importantly, the kingdom of God. It's not something that is, you know, harmless. It causes, obviously, a lot of different problems. Proverbs chapter 6. I want us to go to this one because this is going to serve sort of as a basis for the rest of the lesson tonight. There's a word that is used quite a bit in the book of Proverbs to describe the lazy man. Some of you may already know where I'm going with this. The sluggard. So oftentimes that's the term used to describe the lazy man, the sluggard. We're not going to read all of this passage, but look in Proverbs 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. First part of verse 9. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? And so, what we want to do in the rest of the lesson, because we're talking about the lazy man so much tonight, we're going to look at 8 characteristics of the sluggard, according to the book of Proverbs. Right? 8 characteristics of the sluggard. First of all, and we'll stay right here in the passage we just read, a sluggard sleeps too much. In fact, oftentimes a sluggard may be sleeping when he should be working. Let's start there in verse 9 of this same chapter and read through verse 11. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Look also in Proverbs 20 and verse 13. The message is very similar there. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. Look, it's going to be hard to feed yourself. It's going to be hard to feed your family if you're sleeping when you ought to be working. If you'll open your eyes, if you'll get out there and get to work, everything will be so much better for everybody concerned, right? How do we know when we're sleeping too much? How do we know? That's quite simple, isn't it? The person who is perennially late for work, is that good or is that bad? If you're supposed to be at work by 8 o'clock, when should you be there? Probably even a few minutes before that, right? In fact, you probably need to allow for certain things to happen sort of beyond your control, just so that if they do happen, you'll still be on time, right? And so, if none of that stuff happens, you may wind up there about a quarter till, 20 till, whatever the case may be. We need to be on time. If we're constantly showing up late, right, then that's obviously a problem. What if our responsibilities, just in general, are going unfulfilled? Whether, you don't necessarily think about, you know, your work, but you've got other responsibilities besides wherever you may be employed. If those responsibilities are going unfulfilled, in other words, if you're just sort of getting behind with the things that really need to be done, and of course the reason for that is you're just staying in bed a little bit longer each time. We need to get up out of bed and get the work done, right? Another question in regard to this too, can we be awake physically but asleep in another sense? Of course, I'm not sure that we just need to make application of these passages to actually being in the bed asleep. Sometimes we're actually awake, but we're not really awake, right? I mean, we're present for whatever needs to be done, but we're not really alert. We're not really engaged. We're just sort of going through the motions. It really is hard to be very productive when we're just going through the motions. That typically just doesn't accomplish a whole lot, right? Because the goal is not to just sort of get through it. The goal is not to do a halfway job of it. The goal is to do it the right way. I think about Colossians 3 and verse 23, where he's talking to the servants there. He says, you need to work as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And the simple idea of that is, look, whoever your boss may be, yeah, they're your boss in a secular sense, right, a worldly sense, but in a spiritual sense, your boss is the Lord. He's the one watching you every minute of that day, right? And so the idea is, when we go home at the end of the day, or whatever task we may have in front of us, have I pleased the Lord? Have I pleased the Lord in the effort that I gave today? Let's move on to another characteristic of the sluggard. A sluggard sometimes will talk when he should be working, or maybe in some cases talks about working instead of actually working. Look in chapter 14 and verse 23. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. In all labor, there is profit. Now, I think we'd have to put some sort of qualifier on that. There may be labor that's not legitimate, right? You know, there may be labor that involves some sinful type things. That wouldn't be the case. But generally speaking, in all labor, there's some sort of profit that comes from that. But idle chatter leads only to poverty. I don't suppose any of y'all know anything about this, do you? I'm sure you've never noticed a group of people at work who really had a whole lot to do And they weren't really getting a lot of that done because they're over here just kind of chatting and gossiping and talking about this and talking about that. And nobody's saying that there's not a time for that at some point during the day, as long as it's not hampering your duties and so forth. But I think we can absolutely relate to what this passage is talking about. Now, I'm afraid that the problem more in 2023 is not so much talking when we should be working as being on what? Now, you go to a place of business. Think about it now. You go to a place of business, maybe a place of service. This would certainly be true, yes, of the nursing home where my mother is currently. You're trying to get some help. The people that are supposed to lend you that help are doing what? They're on their phone, right? They're texting. They're watching a cat video. They're watching something, right? They're on that phone, you know? I mean, it's just taking over people's lives. And make no mistake about it, it can happen to any of us, right? And so I think we have to make sort of a modern application, right, of Proverbs 14 and verse 23. And yes, I guess the question begs asking, can we not work and talk at the same time? In other words, if that's something we got to do, I mean, let's stay at it, right? Stay at it. I was talking to my oldest brother here not too long ago, and he kind of supervises some guys at work, and he says they've got some young people, and please, I'm not just picking on young people. I mean, I think it's becoming a problem with all age groups. But he says they're constantly on their phone. He said, and that's okay if we've got downtime and there's nothing to be done. But he says, all along I have to just say, hey, we got work to do. You need to put the phone down and let's get whatever it is we need to get accomplished. We need to get it done. And so whether it be idle chatter, whether it be being on our phone, whatever distraction there is, we need to give our very best. And again, let's remember Colossians 3 and verse 23. Work as unto the Lord and not unto men. But here's another characteristic. A sluggard makes excuses to get out of work. Excuses that can sometimes border on the ridiculous. Now here comes some more humor from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. I've had people comment to me before in the past, well, you know, there could have been lions, you know, roaming this area and so forth. Well, yeah, I'm not saying that lions were non-existent. You know, I'm not saying that at all. But let's don't strip the passage of its meaning, okay? It's designed to show how ridiculous this is. Chapter 26 and verse 13, very similar. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. The lazy man says there is a lion in the road. And not just any lion. A fierce lion is in the streets. I mean, this thing will tear you up. Won't even think twice about eating you, right? So you see the idea? Yeah, I can't go out there. I can't do this. There's danger out there. Well, I am quite confident that none of us have ever used that one. Right? Maybe what we would use more often would be something as simple as, I'm not feeling well. And look, sometimes that can be perfectly legitimate. When we say we're not feeling well, we may actually have some virus, some kind of infection. I mean, we may have even something more serious than that. Granted, we need to stay home and rest. There are times we need to just call in sick, and that's perfectly fine. But at the same time, I'm not feeling well can mean a lot of things. And I hope we do understand that we don't have to feel just right to get the job done. Whether it be something at work, whether it be something involving the work here of this local church, things are extremely important. You don't have to feel perfect in order to get it done. I think sometimes we kind of look around and we see other people that are just really getting after it and getting the job done, and we almost marvel at their health and their strength. And I don't think we stop to consider sometimes that they may not be feeling all that great either. They may not. They may have a headache. They may be tired. They may have a backache or whatever the case may be, but they're still doing all that they can do because they just realize the importance of it. Got to be careful about making those excuses. And I think more and more with people today, I don't know, more and more, maybe it's always been a problem. I hate to go too far with that kind of statement, but it's just too hard. My boss expects too much. Again, we ask the question, do conditions have to be perfect? Do conditions have to be perfect in order for you to really do the work that you're supposed to do? And the answer is clearly no. I don't suspect any of you, you know, working men and women here tonight have a job where you would describe the conditions as perfect. You know, I just don't think any of you have that. You know, some may be more desirable than others. But again, let's be careful about the excuses. There's a task in front of us, a task that needs to get done. And when we're talking about spiritual tasks, the ones that are most important, it's even magnified then, right? This needs to get done. No excuses. But here's another characteristic. Number four. A sluggard is not nearly as smart as he thinks he is. We're going to Proverbs 26 and verse 16 on this one. Proverbs 26 and verse 16. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Well, I don't know that we need to say a whole lot more about this except to say there are some folks who may not be willing to do a job, but they are willing to do what? They're willing to tell you how to do it. Okay? So, I don't know. There may be a whole lot of applications of this. I'm not sure exactly where the writer is trying to direct our thinking and so forth. In what way are they wiser in their own eyes and so forth? But that is the first thing that comes to my mind. No, I'm not willing to necessarily get my hands dirty. I'm not willing to expend the effort required, but I can sit back here and I can direct you and I can tell you how to do it. Well, here's God's message to us. Don't be that person. Don't be the person who tells everybody else how to do it. You be the person who gets in there and gets the work done. All right, number five. A sluggard follows after what Proverbs describes as frivolity. Just to simplify that, we just say he likes to goof off. He likes to goof off. Let's look at a couple of passages. Chapter 12 and verse 11. Proverbs 12 and verse 11. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity, likes to goof off, is devoid of understanding. Chapter 28 and verse 19. Very similar thought. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. I can remember my dad saying things along this line a few times in my growing up years. Just a very few times. Okay, usually I was just Johnny on the spot. So don't get the wrong idea. But I can remember him saying, well, if you've got enough energy to do that, then you've got enough energy to get the work done. If we've got enough energy to goof off, then there should be no issue with expending that energy on really the task at hand, right, and getting what needs to be done. Let's don't be the person. Look, again, we're not trying to overstate any of this stuff. Yeah, there's a time, even at work, even with tasks that we're doing, let's enjoy ourselves a little bit, but when that's keeping us from doing the things that we need to be doing, that's when it becomes a problem. Number six, a sluggard thinks he's making life easier for himself, but he's actually making it more difficult. And really, isn't that kind of what's behind it in many cases? I'm going to try to make it a little, you know, I'm trying to coast them. I'm trying to not stress myself too much. I'm trying to make things, but really it's the opposite. They're actually making things harder on themselves. Proverbs 15 in verse 19. Proverbs 15 in verse 19. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. The New Revised Standard says it's overgrown with thorns. But the way of the upright is a highway. You say, okay, well, in what way is the lazy man's way a hedge of thorns or like a bunch of overgrown thorns? In other words, you said that, okay, they're trying to make things easier, but they're actually making things more difficult. In what way? Well, I can think of a couple of things. First of all, you're going to, if we're talking about work that's being done for other people, you're going to incur the wrath and displeasure of those people. They don't appreciate that a whole lot. You're going to get yourself in some trouble, may even not be asked to come back again, right? But then also, just in general, we're getting ourselves further and further behind. We talk about this with overspending, right? We just, you know, swimming in a sea of debt. We don't know how we're going to ever get out of all this debt. Well, the same thing with work. I mean, we got all these responsibilities really that need to be taken care of, and well, we neglect this and then we neglect that, and we're sleeping too much to do that. We're goofing off too much and don't get this done. And now all of a sudden it's like, wow, we got a mess on our hands. How are we going to get all this done? Sure, there's a bunch of other ways. But really, we're making things more difficult. Now, somebody might look at this passage and you see the contrast, right, between the lazy man and the upright man. Somebody might say, well, but don't you think the upright, diligent person faces obstacles too? Aren't there some thorns in their path sometimes? Absolutely. What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the diligent man going to do about the obstacles in his path? He's going to find a way to overcome those obstacles, right? He's not going to let that stop him from getting the work done. You see the difference between the lazy and the diligent. Number seven, a sluggard typically is not afforded the same opportunities as the diligent. Turn with me to chapter 12 and verse 24. Chapter 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Another passage very similar in principle anyway. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Chapter 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Before we go any further with the main thought from these two verses we just read, let me suggest something, and I suspect that many of you, if not all of you, are already doing this. When you see someone working hard, let's start here just within the local church. Spiritual duties. When you see people really working diligently to accomplish these things, make sure you commend them. Okay? Keep them encouraged in that so that they continue to show that same diligence. But just in general, just out in the world, if there's a waitress that's working diligently, if you're at some hospital or nursing home, like with my mother, and somebody is really, you know, going to a lot of trouble to care for the patients and they're working diligently, what should we do? Let's make sure that we commend them. Let's make a big deal out of hard, diligent work. Okay? I mean, let's do that much, right? To let people know that is appreciated. And maybe even try to lead that discussion into, you know, that's what God appreciates. The Lord loves to see that kind of work. But what's the main point of these passages? Well, those who work diligently, at least in many cases, what happens to them in the workplace? A lot of times they get promoted, right? Bosses love good workers. And a lot of times they'll reward people. Now, are there exceptions to that? Some of you may be thinking, well, you know, I've worked diligently all my life and my boss really hasn't shown as much appreciation for that as I think. It's been so long since I've gotten a raise or a promotion. But, you know, even if it doesn't result in an actual promotion, even if you don't get that big raise, at least in many cases, your job is a whole lot more secure than somebody else's. They like to have people around that they know that they can rely on. I know if I give Lamar this job, Lamar's going to get it done. If I ask Carrie to talk to this person, call this person, get this particular task accomplished, I know he's going to get it done. All right? They love people like that. Look, I don't follow Cody to Panera Bread where he works. I know he's worked there in the past. I think he's working there again this summer. But I have a strong suspicion, knowing Cody like I do, that they love Cody at Panera Bread. Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. I think they love him there. Because, first of all, he's spiritually minded. He knows what the Lord teaches on this subject. I believe he goes into work and he works as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so there ain't a chance in the world, I don't believe, that any time this summer that they're going to fire Cody. Unless Panera Bread just tanks and they just don't have any more money and can't pay anybody, that's the only way it's going to happen. I hope I'm not embarrassing you too much. But just trying to give an example. They love that. They love that. And so that's not exactly the kind of opportunities, right, that the lazy man has. All right, so here's the last one. Should be no big surprise. A sluggard is a big source of irritation to other people. Proverbs 10 and verse 26. We may not know much about one of these, but we'll certainly understand the other. Proverbs 10 and verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Well, I don't typically just take raw vinegar to my teeth. I don't know as much about that as I do the other one. We know about the smoke to the eyes, right? All of us at some point probably have sat around the campfire and, you know, and you're sitting there and the wind kind of shifts and it's blowing right in your direction and you get your chair and you move somewhere else, right? And then the wind may shift a little bit more, right? And now it's blowing in you again. You're trying to get that smoke is an irritant, right? Lazy people are an irritant. And look, we can't be much influence in the world, right? We can't have the kind of name and reputation that's going to influence people for good if we're irritating them. In fact, we need to avoid as much as we can being an irritant to people in any kind of way, right? And this is one of those ways. So, look, I know Proverbs, typically, when it's talking about all this, it's just dealing with kind of the everyday task of life and so forth. But what I hope we understand is that if we can develop diligence, just in those everyday tasks, we would hope then that that same diligence would be shown in all of our endeavors for the Lord, our work in the kingdom. My parents always taught us the importance of hard work. And I don't think they were teaching us that just from the standpoint of this will help them get a good job one day and they'll be responsible fathers and mothers and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that's what they necessarily strictly had in mind. I think ultimately they wanted us to work hard in the kingdom of our Lord. And so that's really the main reason why they didn't put up with much laziness. Now, it took quite a few whippings, right? A lot of talking to's and all that kind of stuff. But I am thankful for them at least trying to instill all those lessons in us. Go ahead and get out your song, but we'll sing the song of encouragement here in just a moment. I know this gets very repetitive. You know, say, okay, well, the invitation again. The invitation again. But you know what? It's just hard to think about just kind of just skipping this and just going right on into the song, and there may very well be someone who just needs a little extra nudge, right, to make that decision to either become a Christian or return to the Lord. And so, if you're kind of in that mindset now that you just need that little extra nudge, we hope this will provide it. Can we assist you tonight in being right with the Lord? Let us know as we stand and sing.